At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I remember about 3 years ago when Farhan Zaidi was asked in the offseason, what do you need to do with this team? And he said, we have got to get younger, faster, and more athletic. And yes. I'm still waiting. Do it. Do it. Number one characteristic of any human being in life, do what you say you're going to do. You want to get younger, more athletic, and faster? So let's re-sign Wilmer Flores? What is happening out there? This station-to-station baseball is killing this team. Killed this team. Who, by the way, officially as of today, has arrived in the neighborhood of a negative run differential. Yep. For the first time all year, they have fallen into a tie with the Diamondbacks for third/fourth place. They are not going to catch the Rockies, but yes, I bet right now the way things are going that the Giants will finish this year in fourth place. To me, I don't know which positions are necessarily on the line. Devers is going to be Rafi Devers. Like, that's not going to change, but you have got to figure out a way to A, be faster and more athletic, and B, therefore then put that into play and be more aggressive on the base path. You have got to start making the opposition do some things, force them into the mistakes that other teams are forcing you into, and see if that can generate something. Because this idea of the Giants essentially needing to string together four hits for somebody to come around and score a run, I don't know, Dibs. It doesn't look like it's working.
Well, it's not going to work when you don't have guys who can actually, I don't know, hit. And if you want to string together three hits to get a run, which is not ideal, well, then you would have guys like Luis Arraez or, you know, somebody like Altuve, guys who can, or really, you know, batsmen who can hit 290 or better, but the Giants don't have that. They've got guys who can slug, and when they're not slugging, well, then you can't really score because you don't run. They don't have anybody who has stolen more than nine bases. And I thought Jung Hoo Lee was supposed to be a guy, grandson of the wind. He's got eight steals in 10 attempts. So he never even tries to steal when he does get on. Today he had a nice triple, and you could see the speed, but what little speed they have, they don't utilize it. And when they get runners in scoring position, they don't deliver. And when you play in this ballpark, you can't rely on the home run. And if you're not going to rely on the home run, then you got to be situational. You got to advance runners. You got to hit and run. You got to steal. You got to do the little things. And also, you've got to play defense. And what was it last night? The pop fly to shallow right that got wind blown and it fell. And that was the first run of the ball game. And the defense is not buttoned up. You don't situational hit and you don't have power. So what do you do well, Giants?
Well, and here's what is especially hard for me. You know me. Like, the pro sports is hard, and you're not going to get the results that you want all the time. There are going to be days where, yeah, the ball bounces off the base. You get a bad bounce, whatever. You're going to be snake bit sometimes. But you want to know what really feels difficult to swallow, I think, for a Giants fan, is something that Dave Fleming spoke about to the Joes on the roast earlier today. I want you to listen closely to a couple of these particular comments, starting with this one.
I do think there is an element of this team that is prideful. They're veteran. They've been around. They have big expectations of themselves, and they've watched this thing sort of slip away. And I'm not saying the season is over, but I think the body language and the energy level would definitely say this is a group that has lost some of their enthusiasm, not because they don't want it, but because they realize the math right now. And that sucks. I mean, it does. No, nobody wants that. And Elliot, that was perfect from Elliot. That is exactly the way everybody's feeling. Like, who knows what to say about this? Everybody's underperforming. How do you explain that? How do you explain that, like, a bunch of guys who have big league talent and track records are all struggling, I don't know how you explain that. I don't know that there is an easy explanation, but that's the reality right now.
Just real quick, Dibs, he's referring to a comment from Elliot Ramos after last night's game, which is right here.
It's just not happening. It's just frustrating. I don't know what to tell you, honestly. It's just not happening. That's it. You have to get it done.
Yep. It's not happening. Don't know what to tell you. Have to get it back. I I'm not blaming them for this. They're human beings, so I don't want you to manufacture anything. But when I hear Dave Fleming with the team, as tapped in as anybody, finger on the pulse, tell me that y'all have lost your enthusiasm to go out there and play baseball, I don't know any way to respond other than so have I.
Yeah, and you can see it.
That's it.
You can see it in the fan base, and you know, Grandy played a little montage coming in. And I heard, I don't think anyone on the team is named Lou, but I heard some ooh sounds, and it started with a B. Was there booze today?
There's Jung Ho. Was it Jung Ho?
I don't think so, because he normally gets the three-word Jung Ho Lee, which we haven't heard a lot of that lately either, but there were actual boos. And, you know.
Lucas, did you go last night? You went to the game last night? Were you there?
Yeah, I went last night.
Were there boos?
It felt like in certain spots, people wanted to boo, but didn't feel if it was right to boo.
So San Francisco.
But I will say,
they're just like all guilty about it. Like, I want to boo, but I shouldn't.
I yelled. I was pretty frustrated.
What'd you say?
Just, you know, tag up. How are you not tagging up there? That sort of stuff.
Who was the person who didn't tag up?
Wilmer.
Well, yeah. You know.
And then I realized it was Wilmer. And then I was like, I'm just going to sit here and eat food.
Because, if he's not going to tag up, then why do I care that he's not going to tag up?
Yeah, and I pretty much realized, I came to the realization they were down 4-1. It was, I mean, today they lost 11-1, and it felt just as desperate last night and impossible to come back down 4-1, down three runs. I had to have a conversation with myself that I was just going to eat food because the more food in my mouth, the less I could yell.
What'd you eat?
All I wanted to do was yell.
Yeah, what'd you eat?
Helmet nachos.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Slice House. Yeah. Pepperoni slice.
No food sandwich?
The food's still great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Food's not slumping.
By the way, I probably will still find my way out there again this year, but it's kind of like what Lucas just said. This is now officially a different experience. We're now going to head out to the ballpark because I enjoy being around some of the people in my life, and we like to have things to do and go get good food. And if we're blessed with the weather that we normally are in late August and September and October in this city, there won't be October. Anyway, late August and September, they're going to go out there, get a little sunshine, and have a day together. Whatever happens on the field, whatever. Whatever. And I hate that. I cannot stand it. A loss of enthusiasm for the game? Us too, Giants. Us too.
Yeah, and the even more maddening part of this is the wild card was kind of there on a platter. You took 2 of 3 from the Mets, and at that time, we didn't know that the Mets were going to continue to lose to, I don't know, everybody. Mm-hmm. And so you took 2 of 3 from the Mets. You still were 5 out in the card, but you had some opponents coming up that you thought you could handle. You couldn't. You had the head-to-head against the Padres, and we both said it on different times. If you take 5 of 7 from the Padres, you can rightly say you're still in this thing. No, you can't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Well,
you got swept.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
Right, so
they're probably going to lose all 4 next week,
but
too.
But even if they were to sweep San Diego, you're still not going to do anything because
it's over.
It's over, and that's my point, and that's what makes it so frustrating is the Mets have been, over since the break, have the Mets been as bad as the Giants? Damn near.
Maybe a
stitch better.
Yeah, hard to say. They won yesterday, but that makes them 2-8. In their last 10, the New York Mets. Somehow the Giants are actually 4-6 in their last 10, but I know you're asking about a bigger sample size than that. The Mets remain out of reach, and there are now a bunch of teams in between the Mets and the Giants, Cardinals, Reds, etc. As I've always said, don't talk to me until you've had a winning record, and the Giants are now at basically a season low, 3 games under 500, and even with Tampa coming in this weekend, then it's a road trip to San Diego, Milwaukee, and back home for the Cubs. You're not going to come out of that with a better record than you have now, And so, yeah, this thing is complete toast. Bob Melvin tried to get a message out there. Bob Melvin tried many different ways. Meetings, no meetings, more BP, less BP, calling the team out. And there really wasn't a whole lot of response to that. Here's what Flem had to say about that earlier today on the roast.
It probably says that these guys are not dummies. I mean, they look around and see the Padres playing as well as they are, the Cubs playing as well as they are. Even with the Mets struggles, you know, these guys look at the standings. They know there's 40 games left, and you know, you got three teams ahead of you for the final spot, and you're six games behind that spot or whatever it is. You know, I think some of it is just the cold reality starts to settle in, and some of it is, you know, those individual players putting a lot of pressure on themselves to perform, and then when it doesn't happen, I mean, you know, I'm calling out Adamas a little bit for this homestand. That's five games. You know, five games is not very much. Everybody has five games. Shohei Ohtani has five games where he doesn't play well. But when it happens this time, when you're so urgent to, you just can't survive it, it's discouraging and dispiriting.
I've heard this from Melvin and so many others that the Giants are, quote, trying too hard or putting too much pressure on themselves. And I've reached a point where I'm like, hold on a second. This is professional sports. What do you mean too much pressure? What do you mean you're trying too hard? I get that. I get that idea in life, but it's like you guys play professional sports and you play a hard one and you do it in front of 35,000 people every single night. You have to be able to perform in those scenarios. How the hell did we want you to go to the playoffs if in some way too much, too hard, too pressurized, all of these things are somehow in the conversation?
And how was Rafi Devers able to do that for Boston when they won the World Series?
Correct.
Is this more pressure than that? I think not.
We're sponsored by Cars for Kids, Cars with a K. And Killian also starts with a K. And she, for the SF Chronicle, wrote a fascinating piece with regard to the situation with the Valkyries and the situation with the Giants. The ticket, the entertainment dollar, what is being provided to you, the fan, by these two teams? And Anne, kind enough to join us next on Willard.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
And dibs.
Gray shoots this one up the middle, but right there is Bogarts. And that's the ball game. So this one was not kind to the Giants. Certainly that second inning was one that we'd all soon like to forget. But in the end, the Padres take three from the Giants, and the woes for the Giants at home continue. They've now lost, let's see, 13 of their last 14, and I would never, ever think to see that coming.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, that's on NBC Sports Bay Area, and I think I know what Dwayne Kuiper needs. And I think that we here at 95.7 The Game can probably provide this. If, you know, we pull a couple strings here.
Okay.
You know what Kipe needs?
I have no idea.
Brooke, too. You know what they need? They need a Valkyries game.
Yeah.
They need tickets to Sunday's game. That's what I think they need. Because that, right now, is a happy place on one side of the parking lot. And where those two gentlemen were just talking is not a happy place.
Right.
On the other side of the parking lot.
Right. That team scores points, and the other team on the other side of the lot, they don't score.
Well, both teams call themselves a defensive team, and one of the teams is right. Let's bring on our friend Ann Killian here on the River Islands guest line. Obviously, California Sports Writer of the Year, one of the best out there to do it, and an article today in the San Francisco Chronicle with regard to kind of the blending of the two, and which of these two teams is actually offering Bay Area sports fans something for their entertainment dollar. Hi, Ann. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic. And I thought what you said earlier today in the Chronicle really kind of it struck a chord. And I guess I'd start it this way. Like, are you even surprised, or in what way are you surprised by what a Valkyries game feels like for the fans?
I am surprised. I mean, I didn't, you know, we didn't know. We knew that there was an appetite for a women's basketball team. I mean, all the research had shown that, all the, you know, that we've never had a WNBA team and the league's been around 25 years. And there was certainly a hunger for it, but you had no idea it was going to be this phenomenon that it is. They've sold out every single game. The vibe inside, you guys have been there, right?
We have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the vibe is just like really happy and enthusiastic, and the crowd is way different than a lot of games. It's a very different feel than a Warriors game, I think. Just way more kids, you know, way more people from all walks of life. And just, you know, I mean, maybe it's because it's a little more affordable. You don't feel like, you know, you have to be entertained or you're going to be really mad. But you are entertained, and the team has just been so competitive, and that's the thing I don't think anyone really could have imagined with an expansion team. So it's been really way exceeded my expectations and most people's, I think. I think even their own. I mean, Joe Lacob told me last month, I'm blown away by what he was seeing.
How much of this do you think is being a part of the ground level for fans, where, you know, you're there at the very beginning and therefore you have a little bit more fan ownership?
I think that's part of it. People want to belong to something. They really, you know, they really like it. They really feel involved. They did a really smart thing with their marketing has been fantastic. And they had people on the first night. Everyone was in merch, and not just those giveaway shirts. People, they gave away like Letterman's jackets to season ticket holders. The lines for the merchandise have been out the door. I mean, you see it now all over the Bay Area. You see that violet and you spot it. It's kind of the way when the Sharks first rolled out, you know, you would see the teal and go, oh, there's some of that smart Sharks marketing money. But that seems like the dark ages now when it comes to the Sharks. But I think there is something to just wanting to be on the ground floor. But I think it's also true that there's just been a real desire for a team like this. And then to catch it as the WNBA is on this incredible, surfing this incredible wave of enthusiasm and sponsorship and growth and numbers and viewership all across the country is, you know, it makes it exciting. And the fans know all the players that come in, and unlike, you know, when you're at a Warriors game and people boo the opposing players' lineup, people cheer when Asia Wilson or other players are announced. You know, it's a different vibe.
Yeah, the first game that I went to this year, and I was blown away because it was a really close, tight game against a really good team, and the Valkyries lost, and then the fans gave them a standing ovation after the game, after losing.
Right. You know why? They're getting their money's worth.
Yeah.
They're seeing really good, competitive. They're seeing a really resilient team that's way exceeding expectations and really scrapping and fighting for everything. They've only had a couple of really bad games. One was the first night, but I think it was just kind of all too much for them. But they've really been in almost every game.
Now, the piece that you did is a little bit of a comparison and contrast piece. Yeah, to what level are you taken aback by the fact that the Giants have battled boredom for a few years now, but Buster Posey comes in, Willy Adames is here, they trade for Rafael Devers. This was supposed to be the antidote for the boredom, and here we are.
Yeah, I don't think they're boring, you guys. I think this is astonishingly terrible. It's almost, you know, captivating in its awfulness. But,
that's fair.
I do think, you know, the last 3 years felt very much like we were on a continuous loop, just watching the same thing over and over and over again. It was rather dull. It was dull to write about. There was not a lot that seemed different. They kind of ended up the same. They did the same things at the trade deadline, ended up in the same position. You know, one year they threw Gabe Kapler under the bus. But, you know, it just was kind of a continuous, it just seemed like the same thing over and over. And this year there has been a lot of excitement, and there has been, you know, the Buster factor and the belief that they're, you know, going to try to play the way fans want them to play, you know, the baseball that makes sense for the team, to not be driven solely by analytics. And then you get, you know, something like, well, you get their fast start, first of all, which was, again, kind of like the Valkyries, I think, exceeding expectations. And then that weekend with the Dodgers in their, you know, in first place, and they do the biggest trade, that still the biggest trade of the whole season. And there was so much enthusiasm. And the other thing, the whole season, when we're talking about the fan experience, the fans have been packing the park. The fans have really come back. Almost every game is, weekend game at least that I go to, is 40,000. Yep. And it's been, it feels like old times. And then to have this happen, especially happening at home the way it is just, it's kind of mind-boggling that they just fell off the cliff so steeply. I mean, you can say, yeah, they're not a great team. They have these, you know, X, Y, and Z issues, but this is pretty historic, and it's terrible to...
Especially when you look at what they've done at home, and I think Kipe said on the cut we played in the land, 13 of 14 home losses. 14. And it, yeah. When you think about that, just trying to get the casual fans, Mark and I had this discussion back in March, and Mark was saying it's a baseball town and fans will come back, and they did, and now you've got this. How much does this home drudgery affect, you know, the second and third tier fans wanting to be a part of it?
I think it affects them, and I think it affects, I think it'll affect the turnout for the rest of the season. I think this was their last chance, and of course, school's going to be back, is just about back in for almost everyone, and attendance might have gone down anyway, but people don't want to go. I just was so struck because I went Sunday, and of course, that was until today, just perhaps
until today.
The worst right. performance of the season. The 8-0 loss to the Washington Nationals, at least this was to the Padres today. And then 40,000 people, and it was, you know, it was Junior Giants Day. It was Run the Bases Day. There were the lines at the concession stands. The lines at the merch stores were just so long. People just spending so much money. And then that performance. And then Monday night, I went to the Valkyries game. And it was the same situation, a sellout crowd, lines in the concession stands, lines for the merch, and they got their money's worth. They got a team that really battled, and even, you know, they were playing a bad team, the worst team in the league, but the game before that, they'd beaten the Sparks, and the game before that, they almost beat the Aces. Like, they were battling, and they understand that they're in must-win situations, that there's a playoff berth on the line, and they are running out of time, and they're playing like it. And it's just kind of seizing the moment. And I think that's, there's just a lack of energy right now with the Giants. There's just something missing.
Yeah, to say the least. And Killian is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. And I mean, we're all parents here, and I got to tell you this, like, when I listen to Bob Melvin talk in these post-game sessions about the Giants, the feeling I feel as a parent of teenagers looks the same as the way he feels about his team, where everyone's just like, I don't know why the message isn't getting crossed. I don't know why this isn't working. I'm trying everything I can do. So I don't know that this is Bob's fault or whatever, but how much damage do you think has been done with what's happened here with the Giants?
I think when something like this happens, I think you have to look at everything. And unfortunately for Bob, who I've known a really long time, I have a ton of respect for, he's done really great stuff in his career. I think, you know, he's the hot talking point right now. And part of it is because they've been playing his old team that, you know, he did not succeed with in his final year there. It didn't go the way he had wanted. So I think that contrast makes everyone looking more at, you know, more at Bob. I know they gave him a year extension, and, you know, I understand Buster has made it clear that he likes stability. I think the last thing he wants to do is scapegoat a guy the way Kapler, who might have deserved it, might not have, but he you know, I mean, Farhan definitely ran over Kapler with the bus. So I don't think Buster wants to be that guy because there's so many things wrong, and most of it is the players just not coming through in clutch situations. So I don't think Buster would want to do it, but I think it's certainly something that's being talked about. I would be surprised if Melvin would get fired before the end of the season, because I don't think Buster thinks this is his fault. But I would not be surprised if they decide to make a move in the offseason despite that one-year extension.
And does this become a tougher offseason than the last one for Buster because his former teammate Pat Burrell is the hitting coach for a team that doesn't hit and front office guys who helped him when he was a youngster are still around? Is Buster going to have to put on his big boy president of baseball ops pants and make hard choices this summer?
I think so, but I don't think he's going to have any problem doing that. I think if we've learned anything about Buster, it's that he is, one, embracing this job in a way that I didn't think he necessarily would. And two, you know, he wants to do it right. And I don't think he's, you know, but Buster's a very pragmatic guy. And I think he took this job knowing that he was going to have to make some tough decisions and do some things. He's already done it. He's gotten rid of some of his old teammates, you know, and I just think that's part of the deal. I don't think it'll be a tougher season. I think he's one of the smarter athletes I've ever dealt with, and I think his learning curve is pretty good. So I think he's probably already thinking of what he needs to do, because I think, you know, he's as frustrated as anyone and is probably looking ahead right now. I mean, he's not harboring any illusions that, you know, I think he was. He told me on Sunday, yeah, we got to get on a heater. And then they came out and,
yeah.
There was no heater in the office.
No heater. No, not at all. Hey, Ann, if this is what regular season Valkyries games feel like, what do you think a postseason Valkyries game would feel like?
Oh, I think it would be crazy. And I think it'd be super fun to have one, just especially because, you know, people didn't expect that at all. In fact, I know there's some talk that what would they do if there's a conflict at Chase, but the Chronicle has been told that they would do what they do for the Warriors if there's a conflict, and that is move the conflict, because they would, if they had the chance for a home game, they would play it at Chase. But what I think has really happened, because now the league is going to expand quite a bit in the next few years, and the bar has been set extremely high. And, you know, we saw the valuation numbers for the Valkyries, and they play in one, you know, a fantastic arena. They have a really great training site and facility over in Oakland in the Warriors' old place. They're just doing things in a way that very few teams in the league do. And so these new expansion teams are going to have to do it that way too, or they're going to get left behind. So, yeah, and I think, you know, you asked about Melvin. I think we could have a coach of the year in Natalie Nicasi, because she's really done an incredible job with a roster of, you know, at the beginning, even people who are fans of the league were kind of like, who are those people? I don't know the people on this roster.
Right. And then they lost their best player, and they're still finding ways to hang in there. Ann, thank you, and go watch the game.
I will. Thanks, you guys.
All right.
Thanks,
good
Ann.
To talk to you. Ann Killian, San Francisco Chronicle, and obviously the game to which I am referring is the Valkyries game against the Washington Mystics. And if you would like to watch it, it's on KPIX. And if you would like to hear it, you can go directly to our Odyssey app right now. If you haven't downloaded the app, easy download, and then search Valkyries, and their own dedicated channel will pop up, and the game is going to start shortly.
Yeah, and if there is a conflict, that would be unbelievable news for the Valkyries. The Warriors' first preseason game is October 5th at home, and the playoffs for the Valks would start September 14th. So that would mean you would probably advance to the last four teams in the WNBA, or maybe even the WNBA finals.
Or you get a game again. That first round setup in the WNBA, you almost, as a road team or the lower seed, you have to earn a home game. So it's a best of three series, with the first two games being at the home of the better seed. So if you can split, if you can win one of the two on the road, you get to come home
right.
and have the deciding game in your building, which in this case would be Chase Center.
But it would be still a good 2 weeks before the first Warrior preseason
yes,
game.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, there could be a concert conflict, or there could be...
Oh, there's always something going on over
always
there.
Something yeah. going on at Chase. But as far as a Warrior conflict, if that came up, you'd be in the WNBA Finals or the semis.
Absolutely.
And now that would be... an unbelievable expansion story.
Yeah.
It's already been spectacular.
Yeah, and right now, by the way, and again, there is still a hefty way to go on this thing, but at the moment, up to the moment, the Valkyries are the 7 seed. If it ended that way, they would be taking on the New York Liberty in round one, which would be, checks notes, a challenge.
No doubt.
The defending champs. So anyway... that's the way it's shaping up right now. But the Valkyries at 16-15, the 7 seed, and underway against the Mystics on the Odyssey app. Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. I think as we do get closer to the 5 o'clock hour, Stephen Risotto is one of our sort of Giants correspondents. He was out there today. We want to get an idea of how, I don't know, angry people were. You also, I think you're in about 10 minutes, have something to debut with us.
Yeah, something fun.
That's a little bit of a surprise. Like me, Grandy, and Lucas, we know sort of what's about to happen, but you're pitting the three of us against one another?
I thought it'd be a fun contest to roll out, and if it's successful, and I hope that it will be, we could involve the listeners down the road, but it's a simple game of higher or lower. I will give you a stat, and that will be the baseline, and then I'll give you 10 more, and you have to decide... if those 10 that I give you, you won't know the number, is that value higher or lower than the baseline? And today's baseline is San Francisco Giants stolen bases.
Okay.
And they've had
two this year, right?
52.
52?
They are second to last.
I missed 50 of them.
You've got Fitzgerald with 9, Jung-Hoo with 8. And 35 others came from people not named Wilmer Flores.
Dude, their leading base dealer has 9, and he's largely not even on the team anymore.
9 steals.
I mean, I know
it's like Ferris Bueller.
I know he came back up yesterday or whatever it was.
But, Tyler Fitzgerald, you've stolen 9 times. Jung-Woo with 8. Chappie's got 7. Elliott's got 6. Willie Adames with 4. Yaz. He had 6. RIKC, rest in Kansas City.
None of these dudes, they're not on the team anymore.
I need to issue an apology.
To who? For what?
Wilmer Flores has one.
Stop it.
He's got one of the 52.
That's like the back end of a double steal or something crazy happened.
I don't know.
Defensive indifference or one of these deals that happens.
Bailey Devers, Schmidt, and Kisner, they don't have one.
Come on, man.
So that's your baseline.
Okay.
52 is the baseline, and so, I'll roll through 10 different things, and you just have to say, is that higher or lower than 52?
Let's rock that in just a little bit. Right now, though, I want to go to Hogan in Vegas.
Hogan?
Hogan, are you getting ready for Niners-Raiders joint practices out there? What are you doing, man?
Absolutely, because I need Brock Purdy to save me, guys. This Giants season is hell on earth. Willard, before the season, I tweeted you and I said, Giants baseball will save you. And I sent that jokingly, but also somewhat serious. And this is bad, guys. Ramos has 1 home run since June 22nd. Adames has had 1 good month with the bat all year. Chapman is hitting 181 with runners in scoring position, his worst of his career. Jung-Hoo Lee has hit 193 for 2 months, and he aimed for 30 stolen. You guys were just talking about stolen bases. He said in an interview that he was aiming for 30 stolen bases going into the season. Bailey is Austin Hedges 2.0. I remember when Hedges was on the Padres, and I'd laugh about how bad he was offensively, but they kept him around for his glove, and now we're living it. Devers has a 29% strikeout rate. I'm not going to kill him for that, though, because he's new to the team, and he's been hot recently. The only somewhat positives of this season has been Landon Roop and Casey Schmidt, if you even want to believe in this somewhat Casey Schmidt breakout, because we've seen it before with these guys. And I saw Giants Twitter getting excited about the farm rankings. MLB Pipeline released their farm rankings, and the Giants went from 28th to 18th.
Number one riser, Hogan.
They were saying,
number one
they
riser.
They were on the rise, and they could rise even more, they said. Remember when Joey Barr was supposed to save us?
Oh.
Remember when Marco Luciano was supposed to save us? Remember when we were getting told that Luis Matos was going to be a 300 hitter and a Gold Glove outfielder, and he's one of the worst outfielders, and he's like a 225 career hitter. Guys, this is bad. And I don't know. I guess the writers were saying that, were hinting at Buster was trying to light the fire under the team by picking up Melvin's option, but Melvin has him looking like an idiot right now. I don't know how you can keep this going with Melvin. I mean, he's asleep in the dugout, guys. This is bad. And I love Buster. I love what he did for the franchise. But I'm afraid that this is going to turn into a thing where it's just, well, Buster's in charge. We have hope with Buster in charge, even though he's never done this before. And I like what he's done with some of these trades. But I don't know where this is going, and I don't know if it's going to get better, guys. I think that there are maybe 5 fan bases that have it worse than us in the league right now.
Mm.
If you based in like how the team has played and going into the season expectations,
well,
only 5 fan bases I think have it worse than us.
That's an interesting statement.
That's aggressive.
Yeah, Hogan, thanks. The only reason I would disagree with that is because there are way more than 5 teams in baseball that aren't even trying, and they're effectively just there to kind of fill out a schedule for other teams around Major League Baseball. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I could think of 5 right now from the A's and the Pirates and the Nationals, and, you know, we can keep going.
The Rockies, the White Sox.
For sure. Like, they're not even, and there are more. So, like, I don't think Giants fans are in that spot. However, the rest of your frustration is very well heard. It's very well heard. There is very little to hang your hat on right now in terms of looking back on where we are and saying what went well.
And you look at Buster Posey this winter in the offseason, he's got some work to do because you got holes to fill, you got rotational spots you need, and what they have right now is not good enough on the field, whoever's the manager.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570 is the number. Higher or lower with Dan Dibley is around the corner. Steven Rizzotto, our Giants correspondent, is still ahead. This is Willard and Dibs.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Smash down the left field line, and it is fair. A home run straight down the line for Laureano. It's 10-0 Padres.
Gray shoots this one up the middle, but right there is Bogarts. And that's the ballgame. So this one was not kind to the Giants. Certainly that second inning was one that we'd all soon like to forget. But in the end, the Padres take 3 from the Giants. And the woes for the Giants at home continue. They've now lost, let's see, 13 of their last 14. And I would never, ever think to see that coming.
Are you kidding me?
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
13-14.
At home.
At home.
Not a road.
At 3rd and King. That's
at
Flem.
At 3rd and King.
Yeah. Nice.
That's a 2.
Yeah, it's kind of a 3.
Okay.
Felt
good, but.
Flem and Kipe, NBC Sports Bay Area. Just another unbelievably sad performance. And Kipe saying this one wasn't kind to the Giants. None of them have been. None of them have been. It's the same game every day. You score one run, you make a bunch of mistakes, they score somewhere between 4 and 10, and then you go to your car. That's the cycle we're on right now. And so everybody's frustrated, and then what I think is maybe even worse is everybody seems confused. So that's kind of the word I've got for Bob Melvin. We're going to go back to the phones in just a sec, and we'll play higher or lower with Dibs here in a little bit. But, like, check this out, man. This is Bob Melvin has asked, where do you go from here?
We just got to concentrate on winning a game, not worry about the standings, not worry about where the wild card is. Playing a clean game and winning a game and getting back to playing clean baseball. So, you know, at this point in time, we have to go inning to inning, game to game, not worry about the standings at this point.
Okay, let's talk.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about cleaner baseball in August. How do you do it?
You just go out there and continue to try to play. You probably take a look at some different compliments, like we are at this point in time right now. We might be at the point here pretty soon where we give some guys some days off and look at some other guys. I'd still hate to admit that we're at that point. But we talk about being a pitching and defense team. We've pitched well all year, but our defense has not been good, really, all year. So that's the main part that we need to clean up, and that's the part that really looks bad when you play games like this.
Can we spotlight it, Grandy? Can we do it? Can we do it? Let's get, once again, hey, Bob, how do you play better baseball in August? Just listen for the very first noise that he makes.
You want my real answer? My real answer is we can't. We've got five DHs running around with gloves on, and they make mistakes. Although Dom Smith at first, it was a little bittersweet watching him pick it on a dive to his right.
Great, it's like, play. Great
phenomenal play.
Play.
And Ramos had two actually in left that were, you know, Ramos is on the move, diving catches. That was great. And then Ramos had another play, which, and you know, I'm watching Williamsport in the opening day of the Little League World Series. You won't even see that play from these 12-year-olds. And we saw another one from Elliott today.
Although, in a moment, we'll let you hear Bob Melvin have Elliott Ramos's back on that play. Just open mind.
Okay.
Open mind, everybody. But first, Bomel is asked, hey, you said it's a poor defensive team all year. Is that because some guys are essentially playing out of position?
No, it's not. I mean, look, we've been running out basically the same group of guys here, less a couple, you know. I mean, Fitzy was a second baseman for a while. He gets sent down. But no, I mean, it's not like guys are playing, you know, completely out of position. So, no, we just have to get better defensively. We have to take a look down the road at adding maybe some defensive players.
Okay, I mean, I actually think that's a pretty fair answer. It's a funny one, but it's a fair answer. Fitz has played right field one time, so let's not act like that's what they've been doing all year. Casey Schmidt didn't come up a second baseman, but he's been at second base all year, and he is a very plus infielder, so he can make that transition. What are we talking about, Devers? And by the way, Devers at first base, for those of you who have been blinded by how awful their results are, there really hasn't been much going on in the way of any negative aspects of Devers over at first base in recent weeks. I think he kind of relatively looks fine.
Yeah.
After some bumps in the first few games, I think he looks fine over at first base.
He looks fine, and looking fine is not good enough when you're going to thrive on being pitching in defense. And Ramos in left has not been fine. And the sneaky rat on the table brought to you by ATCO Pest Control. What's bugging you coming up on Friday? The sneaky one is Patrick Bailey. And you mentioned it earlier, the pass ball today, and you know, the defense of Bailey is where he's supposed to hang his shingle, and it has not been spectacular. So it's not just the one guy in left. It's kind of a collective defensively.
Okay. Yeah, so really crazy. Was it second inning? Second inning, right? They scored six or seven runs.
Seven.
Okay, and it got really bad, and it kind of started with some bad luck. Would have been probably an inning-ending double play, a little jam looper from Cronenworth, and it bounces off of the second base bag and goes into center field. And then the floodgates open, and later in the inning, there's a rip down the left field line, and it goes off the wall in left field, and Ramos barehands it off the wall, and he turns to throw to either second base or wherever he was supposed to throw, and he basically just throws the ball straight into the crowd. He threw a sideways ground ball back to the infield. And everyone here at the studios is laughing, and they're just like, what else? Like, what are you doing out there in left field? So, Bomel, first of all, listen to the call of the actual play.
Hammered down the line. This will bounce up against the wall. And Ramos just let one fly totally away from everybody, and that allows Tatis to score. Yeah. That's unbelievable. And here comes Bob Melvin.
He just spikes it into the ground, grabs it off of the wall, and I don't know what kind of grip he had.
But he throws that ball about 30 feet.
Great noises from Krug. There was a,
You didn't know what to do. All right. Bomel gets asked about it after the game. Here's his answer.
If you're talking about Ramos and his defense, he's throwing to second base, and we're double cut, and we're in the wrong spot as far as the cutoff and relays go. So he's throwing the ball to second base, sees that nobody's there, and it came out of his hand. So it wasn't his fault. It was more how we were positioned for the cutoff. And then ball gets by, you know, Bailey over his head, and it just looks bad the way we've been playing. It looks horrible. You know, now it's all of a sudden it's 7-0, and we're in the second inning, and the way we've been playing, it's just miserable feeling.
Yeah. So part of it,
man, the size from Bob.
Well, and it does. I guess
that's unbelievable.
It kind of makes sense. Like when you bring your arm back to throw whatever kind of a baseball, football, whatever. When your arm comes back and you're about to let that thing fly, and then all of a sudden something is not where you thought it was going to be. That sort of spike into the ground thing can happen. So Bomel's essentially saying that at least part of this is on the cutoff alignment, which I think goes to Adames.
Well, it goes to what we're watching up here on TV, which is Little League Baseball.
Totally.
And if you want to think about other throws, there was the Casey Schmidt play where Devers tried to cut off the ball and he didn't. Schmidt has it, and the pitcher's going to cover, and it was Tyler Rogers. And Schmidt throws it, and Rogers isn't looking, and it hits the batter runner as he's stepping on first base. That was a throw where, yeah, Schmidt had to double pump because nobody was on the base. And then the other one, Mark, I think you were on your honeymoon and you subsequently saw it, is when Elliot Ramos just from 22 feet away threw it over Adames' head.
Yep, no, I did see it. I don't know if we were
watching it.
Yeah, we're at the airport or something.
Somewhere.
It might have been on my laptop in the hotel room, and I think I
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I closed the laptop after that.
Yeah, and so, and there are other throws we can talk about. I don't even know how many other throws I can recall right now, but there have been so many that have just been sloppy fundamentals. And that's where you don't blame the manager for that. You blame the players and the manager. You blame everybody, but what are we doing to fix it? And I know you can't flip the spread and you can't bench everyone. And I came into Steiny and Goo earlier and I said, you know, you got to take all eight of them off the field right now and put in a fresh eight. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't even know if they have that.
Like in high school.
Just do a line change?
Remember in high school where the starting five is playing like and you used to be that guy off the bench and the coach would be like, you, and you, get in there.
Dude, you just flashed me somewhere. There was, because I played kind of the 3-4. And
stretch four.
Yeah, like I think this was, dude, I think it was freshman year. The freshman year, you don't get a whole lot of playing time, but we had a good Frost-Soft team. We never lost a game. They went undefeated. And I'm going to leave his name out of my mouth because it's not fair. He might still live here in the Bay. But the starting four, the starting power forward, he just took, like, we're trying to move, swing it, move the ball around. And he gets the ball kind of out on the wing, and he turns, and just with an overhead pass, just kind of like Ramos, just threw the thing straight into the ground and bounced out of bounds. The coach was so mad. You ever know when the coaches start looking around and, like, just steam's coming out the ears?
Yeah.
And he doesn't even know what to do. He's so mad he doesn't know what decision to make. So he turns and he looks at the bench and you can see his eyes just run across the entire bench. And he's just looking and he points at me and he goes, did they get in there for him? And I'm like, okay. And you go in there for him and he probably only left me in there for like 4 minutes. And he's like, okay, you're a freshman. Now get back out.
Yeah.
Sit back down. But yeah, dude. I get it. It does feel like that.
Yeah, and you can't do that to professional athletes. And unfortunately, you also can't say, all right, everybody, tomorrow noon, we're taking infield. And that's how you lose the clubhouse. Like Chapman at 32 and Adames and Devers making $300 million. These guys are most likely not going to want to show up at 2 hours early just to have somebody hit them fungos. But that's what this team needs. Their defense, Bob Melvin just said it, it's been bad all year long.
No question about it. Okay, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.